I actually woke up this morning with this chorus in my head. Do you guys know it now without the books? Maybe we could sing it one more time. You don't need to look at your books. Actually, this is a very good prayer to the Lord.
Yeah.
How about let's sing it one more time, prayerfully.
Lord transform us.
Amen. Okay, sisters, close your eyes. Brothers, praying. Amen. Brothers, Lord, transform us to thine image in emotion, mind, and will. Saturate us with thy spirit, all our being wholly filled. Amen. Well, this morning we are on this topic. A continuation, I would say, from last night. This is lesson 7, the Spirit's work in the believers, transformation, anointing, sealing, and pledging.
Amen.
Just to let all of you know, I feel the burden really, at least to me, is on this matter of transformation.
Right.
So I'll spend a little more time on this topic so that we could all have a fresh appreciation of the Spirit's working in us.
Amen.
This matter of transformation.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I feel like when we think about transformation, maybe we get a little scared. I think transformation gets a bad rep. You think, oh no, God's going to do something terrible in me. He's going to take away all the things that I like. He's going to somehow replace me, make me into someone that, you know, I can't recognize anymore. That's just a concept. You know, transformation is something wonderful. Actually, it's something very enjoyable. Transformation, if you look in the outline, I'm jumping a little ahead, but in letter A, it says it's a reaction. It's an automatic reaction. And actually, it's a reaction due to the process that we went over last night, which was sanctification. You know, through sanctification, the divine life is being brought into us. And then as we enjoy this life, something automatic, something spontaneous takes place.
Yeah.
We are being transformed.
Amen.
Into the same image.
Amen.
From glory to glory.
Amen.
That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. You know, a very good example that you'll find in the ministry regarding transformation is this picture of a petrified wood, right? I think some of you have seen it. Some of you have touched it before. It looks like wood, but it's heavy.
Yeah.
It feels like stone. It weighs like stone, but it's wood. And yet it's stone at the same time. How did that come into being? It was through years, time after time. There were minerals. Many times it's due to the wood being, you know, in some sort of river, right? Maybe at the river's end. And the minerals are just flowing, right? Dispensing slowly. And the wood, as it starts to receive all these minerals, there's a process that takes place. In the same way, as we're open to the triune God,
Amen.
To the dispensing of the triune God, guess what? A process is taking place.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, you have to try really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be transformed. I need to make a lot of effort. No. All you need to do is actually enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Be Be open to Him. Enjoy His saturation. And as you do so, His divine elements will spread in all the parts of our inner being. This is something wonderful, brothers and sisters, and we need to see this. Let's start looking at the outline. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Go. Amen. I circled these words: nature, essence, appearance, tastes, and our whole being. You know, a good illustration from the Bible, in Exodus, we see that, you know, children of Israel, they were brought out of Egypt, right? And this is actually God's means of saving His people. But the only problem was that they've been living in Egypt for many, many years. And they picked up certain things, a certain diet, you could say. They picked up an Egyptian diet. And so it's very interesting. You just consider this, you know, and you're all familiar with the story. Like, they were slaves, like serving Pharaoh, building his treasure cities. I don't think it was fun, right? No. And the heat, you think it's hot outside right now. Imagine being in that time, right? Under the sun, building, being enslaved. They were in that kind of environment. And actually, they told Jehovah, save us, right? And Jehovah answered their call, right, and sent Moses, the called one, to bring the children out of Israel. You would think they would be happy, right? They would be excited, thankful. But, you know, as they were journeying in the wilderness, something came up. There was a longing in their inner being for what? Some of the leeks. Yeah. Some of the things that they had in Egypt and no longer could be found in the wilderness. They had a certain taste that was developed in Egypt, which signifies the world. And they missed it. Maybe some of them wanted to go back to Egypt to partake of the leeks of the garlic. You know, this is actually our story, is it not? We grow up in this world. We pick up lots of things in our environment. We are influenced many times very easily by media, social media, by our friends. And our thoughts, our mind, our considerations become, you know, it becomes conformed actually to this age. And actually that's the other key verse from this outline, Romans 12:2. There in that verse, it says, do not be conformed to this age. Conformation means there's a shaping, right? And this age is actually the systemized system that was set up by Satan to distract us from God's eternal purpose. And this age, to you, might be completely different to me. Do you know what I mean? To some of you, it might be sports. To some of you, it might be movies. To some of you, it might be music. It could be all sorts of things. You know that saying, oh, such and such. It means the world to me. You know, you should be careful when you say something like that. Is it really the world to you? What that means is it's everything to me. I live and I die for this. I breathe for this. I exist for this. Is that thing the world to you? Or are we here for a different purpose? Are we here for God's eternal economy?
Amen.
For His purpose for us? Yes. Amen.
Amen.
That's why we were created. That's why we were saved. We were regenerated for a higher calling, for a higher purpose. But of course we know that even though God has this intention, right, His adversary, His enemy, He's very subtle. And so He has these things set up in our environment, in our life. He uses these things to distract us, to occupy us, right? To entangle us so that actually, when it comes down to it, it's a matter of time. That you no longer have time for the things of the Lord. We're so occupied, right? I think a lot of us, and you know, I'm also guilty, right? We're so occupied by our device, right? It's just one thing after another. We spend so much time. If you're not careful about your phone, all your time gets sucked in, becomes wasted, right? And you no longer have any time for the Lord. So we need to realize, right, that this age is here, set up by Satan, and it's being used, right, to usurp us from following the Lord, from being one with His eternal purpose. You know, I was so touched last night by, you know, our brother's sharing of that sister's testimony, right, about how, you know, she wanted to read the ministry. She wanted to pursue the Lord, but she had a limited amount of time. Mm-hmm. And she figured out that, okay, I have time these days of the week, but, you know, that TV show is on, right? I'm just re-speaking it because some of you weren't there. So for your benefit. And so what she did was she watched the TV program, and then during the commercials, maybe she muted it, I don't know, and then started to read the life studies. And after a while, right, you know, guess what happened? Her taste changed. It's not that, you know, she tried to, you know what, I'm just going to throw the TV out the window. I'm just going to get rid of it, right? And then I'll do my best and I'll try to read a life study. But rather, there was a gradual change, right? A change that took time. And it wasn't something that she was forced to do and made her feel uncomfortable or miserable. It's just that she found something better, something more enjoyable. Actually, we all have this experience, and we all should have this experience. You know, as I was considering preparing for this message, you know, growing up in high school, I remember one of the things that you look forward the most in high school is what? When you get to drive a car. You get that license, right? You get your own vehicle. It's a form of independence, right? I don't need mommy or daddy to, you know, bring me places anymore. I could drive. I could bring my friends. And along with the car, you know, there's a certain thing in there. It's the radio, right? And back in the day, you know, we had these things called CDs. Yeah. Or even way back in the day, we had these things called cassette tapes. I use cassette tapes. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And so, you know, we just listen to, you know, my friends and I, we drive and we just listen to whatever, you know, whatever was the hit song during that time. And I didn't think much of it. And then sometimes, you know, in these kind of settings, right, at conferences, in summer school, you know, there'd be brothers, talking about, you know, be careful on what you what you're taking in, right? What you're listening to. So, because the lyrics sometimes, you know, they will create a certain thought, right? Give you a certain concept. And I agreed with it. I agreed with it. Because some of those lyrics are, you know, if you consider, if you actually sat down and think about what you're listening to, it's not righteous. Mm-hmm. Some of it is kind of defiling, right? But yet, you know, you're I'm with my friends and, you know, it's just, you know what I mean? There's this struggle. But, you know, as you're enjoying the Lord, and I'm so thankful that for the saints who put out CDs, who sing and who record the music. Actually now, especially when I was in the training, you know, one of the things I like to do was just to accumulate all the different song CDs, right? All the different spiritual songs that were out there. Why? Because those are so enjoyable. Amen. And I just remember during high school in those years, I loved listening to songs, to hymns, spiritual songs. And as I was listening to these healthy, you could say, these CDs, you know what happened? My taste started to change. Amen. And then before you know it, you know, I don't know if there was like one distinct memory, but I remember that, you know, one time I was entering into my car as, you know, getting ready to drive, and, you know, it's just automatically, you know, you just reach to turn on the radio. And then as I was going to turn on the radio, you know, there's just a feeling within, actually, I don't need that. I'm just going to pop in a NYC YPCD. the acronym is hard. And then, you know, splendid church life, his green garden, he has brought us, praise the Lord. I think that was the first one. And then as you're, you know, enjoying that, oh, this is wonderful. Splendid church life, he's brought us into his garden. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's far more enjoyable than what you could have, what you can find in the radio. So what is this point? The point is we need to enjoy the Lord. And as we're enjoying the Lord, you'll find that something will happen intrinsically in your being. You know, in this bold Roman numeral 1 point, it is not an outward change. It is not an outward correction or adjustment. You know, sometimes we come away after a conference or summer school and you want to change yourself. Like you make a vow, I'm going to be different this time. And of course, a lot of you have already started to share. After a while, I just revert back to my same old self. Don't promise to be different. Just enjoy the Lord. Amen. Give yourself to love the Lord. Amen. There's nothing better. Brothers and sisters, this is our need today. Otherwise, we are no different than our peers, than the ones who are in the world. You know, if you look in your book, if you have it, you could look with me. If you don't, you could look at it later. But this is in page 71. And here, there are a few examples or few items that we should take into our consideration. What is our concept concerning some of these things? Page 71, this is under the section, The Way to be Transformed. And this is the third paragraph. Actually, let's read the second paragraph all together. Okay, ready, go.
Yeah.
Amen. And then, if you continue, you'll see there's several examples. And so he said, let us illustrate this by a few instances. What about our clothing? Oh, Lord, what about our clothing? Actually, you know, this matches my experience. You know, in high school, I remember, you're just so into what everybody else is into, right? The fashion of the age, right? And when you go to the mall with your friends, you go to the stores that they want to go to. And then when you're considering which article of clothing to buy, it's so easy to just go with this trend, right? Oh, they look at something, they like this, oh, I'll just go with it. But have we ever considered, have you ever checked with the person who's living in your spirit? Lord, what about this? What about this shirt, Lord? What about this blouse? Have we ever considered that? Actually, this also is related to the matter of the anointing, which we'll get to. But it's so good to develop this habit of just checking with the Lord. Lord, what about this? What about our spending? How we spend our money? Is it the same as everybody else in the world? You know, some of you, you're privileged to be in a family where your parents provide everything. And sometimes, sorry to say, maybe a little too much. And it's like you have like a, you know, we use this example of a blank check, right, as the all-inclusive spirit. Sometimes it's like you have like a blank check from your parents when you go to the mall or to the store, and you could buy whatever you want. Have you ever considered, have you ever thought about, Lord, what about this purchase? Do I really need this? Or is this just too much? Is this profitable? And then the following paragraph, this is for the seniors. Many young brothers studying in the colleges have the same thoughts about their studies and their degrees as other worldly young people. Actually, even before you go to that college, how about even in your consideration for what schools is that consideration, senior sisters, is that the same as your peers? Brothers, when you're sitting in the cafeteria and you're talking, oh, yo, where do you want to go to? Where are you applying to? Oh, I'm applying. Oh, why? Oh, this program. Oh, why do you want to do that program? Oh, because, you know, when I graduate, I could get that job. It's going to be a high-paying job, and then so on and so on. You know, sometimes when I'm with these, you know, soon-to-be college freshmen, and I overhear their conversations, a little part of me grieves a little, you know, a little bit. Because it seems like their considerations is just no different. Yeah. No different than any other person in the world. Why are you considering that school? Have you checked with the Lord? Does he want you to be there? Why do you want to study? Why do you want to get that degree? Is it just for the money? You have all these dreams and aspirations. Is it lined up? Is it aligned to God's economy? You know, we're so burdened. You know, it's not last night. The night before, we saw the end just drawing to a close. We want to be the overcomers, do we not? The sevenfold intensified spirit is here. Amen. And he is intensifying us. Amen. So that we would be the overcomers. Amen. So that we could bring him back. Amen. Well, you want to overcome? You need to overcome this matter of your college decision. Don't go with the trend of this age. When will be the year that the Lord could gain a group of seniors who give their college decisions to the Lord? And they no longer live to themselves, but they live to the Lord. I believe the Lord is waiting. Is it with your class? What class are you guys? Class of 2017. Will it be with the class of 2017 that the Lord can look upon you all and say, wow, they followed me. I wanted, sorry, Shashin, you're just in front of me. I wanted Shashin to go to that school. And she said, amen. Amen. What about you, Aaron? What will you choose? We need to have this consecration. And don't just wait until you're a senior. Juniors, sophomores, I don't know if you're thinking about this as freshmen, but I think we can all respond in a way that, Lord, I'm here for you. I want to be transformed so that my mind is not the same as my friends who are in the world. I want what you want. Considering college, even what I choose as my degree, I want your mind. What are your thoughts? Lord, I give this to you. We just pray that you all can respond in such a way. Amen. I think this will hasten the Lord's return, right? Okay, so I think we need to move on. Roman numeral 2. Now we get to the way. And I'm actually very burdened about this. The way, how about we read Roman numeral 2 together? Amen. Hallelujah for the way. Amen. You know, there is a way. This is not just all abstract thought. There's a way. Amen. And the way is to behold. Behold. Maybe we could read 2 Corinthians 3:18 together. I referenced it earlier, but I think it'd be good if we could all read that together. It's on your memory verse sheet, I believe. We unveil face.
Beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit.
Amen. Beholding and reflecting. I really like this word, beholding. Beholding. Brothers and sisters, the way to be transformed is just to behold the Lord. Amen. And you know what? Practically, what that means? It means to spend time with Him. And just to add a little bit from in the beginning, actually, we have to realize that this verse starts off with, but we all with unveiled face. So there's a requirement, a prerequisite, right? We need to come to the Lord without any veils. And how do you do that? Well, if you jump to two verses prior, you'll see that we need to turn our hearts to the Lord. But whenever their heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when we come to the Lord, we first need to turn our heart. And our heart is just so, I don't know what's the best word to describe it. Sometimes so sticky, uncooperative. It's so easily occupied by other things. You can have a heart for so many things. And if we don't have a heart that's turned to the Lord, then there's no way for the Lord to transform us. But when we do turn our heart to the Lord, there's no more veils, then we can spend time to behold Him. And this is so important. Because, you know, a lot of you are sharing about this countdown, right? as soon as summer school is over, it's like you're just like waiting for the day that, you know, you're just going to fail and revert back to yourself. It's like you're setting up yourself for failure. You shouldn't have that kind of attitude. Do you not have the Spirit inside of you?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
The Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, the Spirit that gives life, the compound Spirit, the all-inclusive Spirit.
Amen.
Young people, we need to know our Spirit.
Amen.
You know, you could even progress to a certain stage in your life that just by saying, "My Spirit," oh, that could be a way for you to become energized and filled with His life. Just declaring, "My Spirit, My Spirit, My Spirit is life." Yes, My Spirit is life. We need to realize, actually, that God as Spirit is living in our spirit. And we need to spend time with Him. And this is critical because this has to do with our growth in life. To be transformed, you need to grow in life. And a good illustration, I would say, to see this would be maybe the brothers, you could turn to Psalm 1, verse 3, and then the sisters, you could turn to Jeremiah 17:8. I'd like to point you to this picture here. Okay, brothers, do you have it? Why don't you read it out loud so that the sisters can hear you? Amen. Sisters.
And he will be like a tree transplanted to the side of water, which sends out its roots by a stream, and will not be afraid when he comes, for its leaves remain flourishing, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, and will not cease to bear fruit.
Amen. Actually, in these verses, it's talking about the same thing. We're all these trees, right? And it's one thing to come to something like this, you know, the Summer School of the Truth, where you're just plugged in. Do you feel that way? You're just plugged in into the flowing of the triune God all the time, right? And the water is just so available, meeting after meeting, fellowships after fellowships. Are you enjoying your cabin times together? You know, we have to tell you, go to sleep, stop singing. On one hand, it's hard for us to tell you to stop enjoying the Lord, but on the other hand, you know, you have to keep the schedule because it's 10 days. But the point is, you know, we're tapped in, right? The Lord is flowing. But our burden is that you're not just receiving the supply here in Penuel. But when you go back home, can you find the supply? Will you be able to draw water? I really like in Jeremiah, it talks about the roots, right? You know, if you look at a tree, if it's a big tree, that means the root system is also very extensive. It's kind of like a reflection, right? And so for us to go on in the Lord, we need to develop our root system. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to spend time to behold Him. And in beholding Him, then we are receiving Him. Because in doing so, actually, you'll see, right, that things come up in our life. The heat comes, right? The anxieties come. The college decision comes. The exams come. Your relationships with your friends, things happen. Things that happen in your personal and in your family. All these things may come. For you to flourish, for you to still be able to stand, you need to have a root system, an extensive root system. And this comes about by what? Beholding the Lord. I'm afraid some of us, we are only acclimated to enjoying the Lord in a corporate setting, right? You know, we come together, we enjoy the hymns, we enjoy prayer reading together. But what about your personal time? Have we learned to enjoy the Lord in our personal time? Do we know what it means to behold Him? In Psalm 27, verse 4, the psalmist prays one thing. He's only after one thing. One thing that he has asked of Jehovah that he will seek is to what? Is to dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of his life. And to what? And to behold the beauty of the Lord. This is the one thing. This should be our one thing. We don't care for anything else. All we want to do is just to behold the beauty of the Lord. Actually, there's the footnote on beauty. It's so pleasant. It's wonderful. What does beauty mean? Loveliness. Pleasantness. Delightfulness. Is that your experience when you spend time with the Lord? Lord, you're so beautiful. You're so pleasant. You're so lovely. We need to have these kind of experiences with the Lord every day. Because in doing so, something happens, right? The Lord is being transfused into us. And we will become just the same as He is. Now, recently, you know, I just been helped with even this matter of how to spend time with the Lord. You know, because we're always learning. And I hope, you know, the rest of this week, we could learn together, you know, in the small groups. I don't know if everyone's practicing this, but it'd be good that, you know, we could spend a little time personally with the Lord. And then, you know, if you've been, well, most of you haven't been, but at the college training, a lot of times what we do is we bring everybody back and we learn from one another. How did you spend time with the Lord, right? Did you encounter any difficulties? Well, you know, I received help. I was just fellowshipping with a brother, and he mentioned this point, and I just want to share it with you all, is that, you know, when you spend time with the Lord, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but try complimenting the Lord. What does that mean? You know, in Song of Songs, you find this, right? The Shulamite tells, you know, Solomon, oh, you are lovely, altogether lovely. And then there's a response, right? Oh, no, you are altogether lovely, my love. It's like, it's kind of like Romeo and Juliet, you know what I mean? You say something about the Lord, and the Lord responds to you. You should try doing that, right? You're so lovely, Lord. And then you know what? He'll respond to you. Actually, no, Sean, you're more lovely. You are altogether beautiful. And then the Lord will respond to you. Actually, no, you're beautiful, my love. Actually, I tried doing that this morning, and it was such a sweet exchange. Amen. As I was spending time with the Lord, you know, because I saw that footnote in Psalm 27. I was telling the Lord, you're so lovely. You're so pleasant. You know, most of you are not in this category, but as a husband, when you compliment your wife, you get something, right? You get a smile. you get a hug. It's the same way with our relationship with the Lord, right? It should be. So try doing that. Add that into your repertoire. We need to upgrade our personal times with the Lord. It's not a ritual. It's not something we do. You know, even a lot of us, we use that book, right? The Holy Word for Morning Revival. And sometimes, you know, young people, you're given like a personalized version, you know, with verses. And, you know, the point of morning revival is not so that you could go through all the things that are on that sheet, right? And then you say, oh, I did morning revival. It's to really just touch the Lord. It's just to enjoy Him. And sometimes I find that singing helps. I really actually came to a great appreciation for the hymns in the hymnal while I was at the full-time training. And I remember one morning I was just taking a walk with the Lord. And, you know, immediately, you know, I went into my bag and I grabbed, you know, the Holy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Holy Word. The Holy Word is wonderful. But that day, that morning, the Lord just told me, stop. Don't pick that up. And rather, He told me, pick up the hymnal. And so I just picked up the hymnal, and I just started singing. And as I was singing, I was just touching the Lord. I was just enjoying Him. You know, sometimes these hymns, you know, I don't know if you had the experience, but they move you so much. It could bring you to tears. I have certain hymns in my mind, right, in my being, that I have certain experiences with the Lord over these hymns. They moved me, touched me so much. Mm-hmm. Young people, this needs to become your experience. Amen. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? We need to develop such a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. Okay, I should also spend some time talking about this other point. You know, in spending time with the Lord, I would say, if not the greatest, I feel like it's the greatest. The greatest hindrance is your mind. Your mind is just wandering all the time. And so in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says that we need to take captive of every thought unto the obedience of Christ. When we're spending time with the Lord, we need to set our mind on our spirit. We need to turn. And sometimes you might just catch yourself, right, wandering off. And it might be for good things, like, oh, I need to tell Mark something later, right? I just remembered. It's Mark. Matt, sorry. And you think about that, right, in your morning time. But that time is devoted to the Lord. It can wait. Actually, this morning, I knew, you know, I had to speak, so it was actually a lot more difficult, because as I was spending time with the Lord, I was thinking, oh, actually, this is a pretty good point. Maybe I'll remember it, and I'll share it with you all later. Even that becomes a little distraction, right? And so we need to learn. We need to develop the skills that are necessary. There's a piano there. We're all born with the capacity, right, to play the piano. But that doesn't mean that we're trained, right, to be able to play Mozart or Beethoven. You need to practice, right? You need to develop the skills that are necessary. It's the same with spending time with the Lord. I want to read, actually, this portion of the ministry. This is from Watchman Nee. And this is taken from an excerpt talking about Mary having an attitude, a proper attitude, when she was sitting at the Lord's feet. And this is on the part where she was sitting down at the Lord's feet. And I'll just read this to you. She was sitting down. She was not busy like her sister, Martha. quietness is often the source of spiritual strength. The greatest challenge man faces is being quiet before the Lord. His eyes and thoughts are often distracted to the outside world. Of all the members in the body, the eyes are the busiest. And of all the faculties in the soul, the mind is the busiest. Those who are busy cannot receive revelation easily. A wandering mind and vacillating thoughts are like restless waves on a lake. The lake will never be able to clearly reflect the flowers and trees on the shore. Now, this last point. If a man wants to have the Lord's image imprinted in him and be transformed into the Lord's image, quietness is a necessity. Young people, we need to learn how to be quiet before the Lord. We need to learn how to just behold him. You know, you go outside, you look at the lake, it's still, right? And you see a certain reflection. If there was waves, right? Maybe a lot of wind, then there was no more reflection. Then there's no more image, right? And so in the same way, as we're before the Lord, we need to quiet our minds, right? And I would say, again, this matter of the phone. Actually, I remember, I think it was a sister who said that she uses her phone as an alarm. Actually, I do the same. And I'm trying to get away from that, I'm trying to buy a physical alarm. But up to this point, my wife doesn't like any of the alarms that I bought. So I'm still stuck with this, you know, this alarm on my phone. And the temptation is there, right? When the alarm goes off, and you know that you want to give the first 5 minutes to the Lord. But what do you see? Oh, you see all those unread emails. Or you see that red, right, number in your text. Somebody sent you a text. And you just want to, you want to know, right? You know what? It's not urgent. If it was really urgent, they would have called you. And if it was really, really urgent and you didn't pick up, they would have called you multiple times. It can wait. Spend that time with the Lord. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just turn my heart to you again. Lord, I love you. And you just keep conversing with the Lord in that way, right? We need to develop that relationship in the mornings. Amen. Okay, I think I need to stop there on this matter. So we see in the renewing of our mind, there needs to be a change in our thoughts towards almost everything. And this change in our thoughts is the transformation of our soul by the renewing of our mind. As we behold and reflect as a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into the Lord's image from one stage of glory to another. Okay, the next few points, obviously I didn't spend a lot of time touching it, but you could do that in your groups. But Roman number 3, we come to this point on the anointing. And the anointing is very mysterious, real, and experiential. And real quickly, you know, the anointing is just the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the verse that is referenced is 1 John 2:27. And many times when we read that verse, we think, oh, the anointing. Well, what it means is it's teaching me concerning, you know, whether I should do this or you should do that. I have no need for others to tell me what to do because the anointing will teach me concerning all things. I would say that is the secondary, right, purpose or results of the anointing. The primary matter of the anointing is what? It's sealing. It's saturation. It's abiding. Actually, the cluster of verses there, it starts with abiding and it ends with abiding. In verse 27, it says, abide in him. So what's the point of the anointing? The point of the anointing is that you would abide in the triune God. And you would just enjoy the moving of the Holy Spirit. And this is something, again, so practical. When you wake up in the morning, actually, I was reminded to do this morning. I just checked with the Lord. Lord, what about this tie? How do you feel about blue today? As opposed to green. Okay, in the big scheme of things, blue or green, It probably does not matter. But it does matter that you're turning to the Lord and that you're listening to the anointing. And the Lord just, go with the blue. I remember, real quickly, I shared this testimony. When I was in junior high, I don't know if this was my first or second summer school of truth. You know, during that time, we were also doing it in Newton. So I remember we were staying in hospitality, at, you know, not in the meeting hall, but the house on the, what's it called, the carriage house? Yeah, the house there. They opened that. It's called the house? Okay. They were having brothers there. And the serving brother there that night, you know, brought some ice cream, you know, to the middle school brothers. It's funny. I don't remember anything from that summer school of the truth. Nothing. I just remember this one encounter or this testimony of this serving brother. And he was just sharing that, you know, brothers, as I was considering what to buy from the grocery store, you know, I was just deciding between vanilla and chocolate. And then, you know, as a middle school brother, I was like, that's just the craziest, you know, why would you ask the Lord vanilla or chocolate, right? But, you know, after, you know, time goes on, looking back, I'm actually starting to appreciate that fellowship a lot more. That point, or his point, was that he was just enjoying the anointing. You know, he was just going with the feeling within. Lord, for the brothers, should I buy vanilla or chocolate? You know, we need to learn how to do this. Because when you face the more, you know, serious decisions in life, like college, by the way, that's not the most serious. When you face decisions concerning marriage, where you should live, how you would raise your kids, you know, if you've never had a habit or you've never learned what it means or how it feels like to obey the anointing, what will you do when you are faced with these kind of major decisions, right? So start when you're young. Start with these simple decisions, right? When we dismiss you for lunch, Lord, should I grab a lot of chips or a little chips, you know? Should I eat my lettuce today? Or, you know, you can have so many thousands of conversations with the Lord in a day, right? Brothers, when you're out there running around, you know, should I be so aggressive? Should I play this sport or that sport? We can take the Lord into every aspect of our living, right? Just by applying this matter of the anointing, right? Okay, and to wrap up, point number four, after the anointing comes the sealing. Amen. Any kind of painting is also a sealing. As we're enjoying the anointing, I mentioned, you know, what's really happening is we're being sealed. And this sealing implies ownership. You know, it's like a stamp. Bam. The Lord is sealing us. Bam. You know what? He's saying that you belong to him. Isn't it wonderful that we've been acquired? Amen. We belong to him. Amen. We are his acquired possession. Amen. He's bought us with a price, a very high price. Amen. And it's so wonderful that we've been brought out of that heap, or we're being brought out of that heap of collapse. Amen. Right? We belong to him. On the flip side, and this is such a sweet point, this last point, along with the anointing and sealing is the pledging, right? We belong to the Lord, and the Spirit as the pledge actually is a promise to us that all that he is belongs to us. His immense, right, storehouse of riches is for our enjoyment. Hallelujah! We have the Spirit as the pledge. If you think, wow, the Lord is so enjoyable right now, just wait. It just gets better. Amen. This is a promise to us. Amen. And so when you're feeling down, when you're feeling dry, when you're feeling out of it, you know, you could tell the Lord, actually, you've been promised to me, right? You belong to me. I want to enjoy you. Open that door to the storehouse of the riches so that I could, you know, enjoy a little bit more. Brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful conclusion, right? That the Spirit is both the sealing and also the pledge. I really like one of the hymns in our hymnal. In 284, every line ends with this phrase, I am his and he is mine. That's a very sweet hymn. That's another one of those hymns that, you know, has a lot of meaning for me. I don't have the time to tell you that story, but I am his and he is mine. Do you have the sensation that he belongs to us and we belong to him? Isn't that so sweet? I am his and he is mine. Okay, and then finally, to conclude, I just want to give you two phrases. And I encourage you to write this down. This is meant to encourage you. The first phrase is little by little. Amen. Transformation is a process. It takes little by little. And the reference there actually is Exodus 23:20. And there, you know, you could do this in your group time. The story is with the children of Israel. They're, you know, entering into the good land, and Jehovah, God, needed them to basically deal with all the foreign tribes. And actually, if you look at the footnote there, the foreign tribes signify our natural man, right? And so we saw from last night and even this morning, we're all natural. We're all like these clay vessels. But the Lord, little by little, is dealing with our inner being. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. This is not an overnight matter. Petrified wood is not something that you could gain overnight. It's little by little. The Lord will deal with us, take things out, fill us with himself. Little by little, our natural old man will be dealt with. And then the second phrase is day by day. And this reference is 2 Corinthians 4:16. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Maybe sometimes you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I'm still so natural. I'm still so untransformed. I'm still failing in all these things. Do not lose heart. Brothers, do not lose heart. Amen. Sisters, do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is decaying, but guess what? If you're enjoying the Lord, if you're spending time in his presence, you need to believe that your inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen. So I'll just leave you with those two phrases. Little by little, day by day. May we continue to cooperate with the Spirit's working inside of us so that the Lord can fully transform us into his image.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The verse is 23, verse 30. Not 20, okay? Let's just pray with your neighbor for 30 seconds. So. So just have them start. What is it, brothers or sisters first?
I think it's high school.
No, just tell them to start. What is your name? But that's not now, right? It's after lunch, don't you? Well, we're already late for lunch. You don't want to call them back? How long will it take you? Okay, good. Come on up. All the cars parked next to the pool on the grass, you know, when you're on the driveway down, some cars are parked on the right side when you're coming down. They all need to be moved to the parking lot. After the paved part of the parking lot, there's some grassy area there. You can park there, but try to keep your cars down here or up by the houses. But don't park, you know, curbside on the side of the road, okay? There will be a house coordinators meeting today at 5:30 p.m., briefly. 5:30, a brief house coordinators meeting downstairs in the room below this room. Now, you have a special, high school, all have a special rec time they're going to tell you about, but we want to let you know that there is a mandatory rest for the junior high at 3 p.m. for 1 hour, 3 p.m. So the junior high will, if the junior high kids think they're going to be playing around, we're going to shoo them back into their things, yeah. Okay, so also the ninth grade, only sisters played with them? The ninth grade sisters who played with the junior high yesterday in their activities, you also need to take this mandatory rest today. Okay, we don't want you to get too exhausted.
All right. Have you guys been enjoying group time? So this afternoon, we will have another opportunity for all of you guys to be together in your groups and enjoy rec time together. Amen. We have divided the teams up into, the teams are set as your group, and this is mandatory for everyone, all the students, as well as all the serving ones. Serving ones and TAs, this is another opportunity to get to know and shepherd your young people. Amen. And young people, this is an opportunity to play against your serving ones. Amen. So we just wanted to give you some logistical details regarding how this afternoon will go. So after lunchtime, the